stadium. Their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
You live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California. This is
the Blue Heaven Podcast.
Happy Monday, my dudes. My name is Clint. You can find me as Real FRG on Twitter and Instagram.
That's it. You didn't go with anything special today. I'm proud of you. Guys, my name is Brooke.
Doing the Happy Monday, my dudes. Stole Anthony Keene.
You can find me at RookMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. On today's show, we're going to talk about some broken McRibs because Cody Bellinger apparently is not 100% healthy, just as he has been all year long, and we're very much here for it. We're talking about the road to October because we have this many games left, right? There's 12? Is there 12?
That's three.
That is three, technically.
Sir, that is three.
That is three. Things are not right down in San Diego. And we're going to talk a lot about it because it's just more fun to do that.
I enjoy what's going on in San Diego, to be honest.
Personally speaking, you know, I wouldn't have anything against the Padres if they weren't pitted as the Dodgers' main competition and the team set to dethrone the Dodgers from the NL West. Funny enough, they're set to be dethroned by somebody else, which is great. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, a little fight that went on down there. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Plus, we really, really, really hope the Dodgers do not die in Colorado. We know that is an awful, awful, awful place to play baseball. Beautiful place to watch it. Terrible place to play baseball and live, and we hope they don't explode there. All that and a whole lot more on today's episode of the Blue Haven Show. Before we get into the show, we got to remind you, if you could, like, leave a review, rate, and whatever, just subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you can do podcasty things. And if you could, like, review us and leave something cool there or funny, that's always nice. We haven't done reading our reviews or rating our review. I don't know. We haven't done that in a while. So let's get some fresh reviews up on our iTunes, and we'll read some of our favorite ones in an upcoming episode. And also subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. You'll be glad you did, maybe.
You'll be probably. You'll be mildly satisfied, which is, you know, title of my sex tape. Guys, let's check in. We're on the, we're a live show. Don't forget, we are live. I'm not going to get past that one. I gotta stumble through that for a second. We are live. Check in with us. Let us know we're repping Dodgers Nation tonight. It's pretty good, right?
Good line. But you gotta really own it.
You gotta really own it. Ari Swerdlow over on YouTube says, road to repeat, as he does every single time. We appreciate you. Also in Carlsbad. I did not know Ari Swerdlow was in Carlsbad. That's a good, area.
Is it?
They have beer down there. I don't know. Anywhere that there's beer is pretty good.
Enjoy beer.
A goat said, yeah, like stinky monkeys. I don't know what that means. Must be us. We are stinky monkeys. Russell over on YouTube says, sweep the Rockies. That's the hope.
Goat?
Roach says, bonjour. I think he spelled bonjour wrong.
I also see a turkey. Calvin sent a turkey. There's a goat.
It's a weird,
there's
weird
clowns.
Week. Oh, Leslie says I shouldn't wear my hat backwards. She's right. It's not my thing.
That's not your thing.
Sorry, Leslie. Good call.
You saw
You're
the
right.
artistry.
You're right. It's a weird day. I'm wearing a soccer jersey today, so we don't know what's going on.
Nicholas Ramos on the Periscope, which, by the way, Periscope was supposed to die like a year ago, yet it's still running.
They're grandfathered in. Nicholas says, babe, wake up. The Blue Heaven podcast is on. Babe, what are you doing? Get up. Podcast is on.
Hey, girl.
What's good?
It's me.
You single?
Dodger Monster Lobster, that's also a goat. Thank you, a goat. You keep going, we'll probably give you the boot because we don't have time for all these comments. Where is it? Anthony Keenton, is Nomo available for this Colorado series? You know, no mo. Yeah, no, yeah. No.
Juice Nero says, hey, didn't I just watch you guys on Thursday? We forgot we did a Thursday podcast, to be honest with you. The days really blend together. The only way I know what day it is when the tweet comes up that says, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. And then I'm like, it must be Friday today.
True Blue 55 says, who are the Giants playing next? Oh, we know who they're playing next, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but they're playing the Padres. And we got to talk a whole lot about the Padres. It's going to be fun. Matthew Thomas checking in from Irvine. Lynn Brown, glad to see you again, bros. Good to see you, Lynn Brown. Roach San Bernardino has a brewery. You're saying everywhere that has beer is nice. Now you have hit a quandary in your... alcohol.
They got that meth brewing out there.
Yeah. You know, I went in Bernardino, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Baca says, I can see the Dodgers losing 2 of 3 to the Rockies, then not losing again. See, that's real, like, that's FRG attitude right there. It's like, yeah, they're going to lose. They're going to do bad. And then you really just hope that they're going to do well, but you say they're going to do bad. And then you seem like you're really intelligent. You're in tune with the team if they do poorly. Or you seem like you fell on the sword for the team to prove you wrong if they do well. So really, it's a win-win-win to be negative.
We're a good balance. I've been pretty homerish lately. So.
You have.
Yeah. I have nothing. Look, you were like, no way we're winning the division, and all of a sudden we're a game back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but we were a game back before the last three.
But we're still a game back.
You also said the Reds were going to sweep, and then you know they would have been tied. But why didn't your Dodgers sweep the Reds?
Because Friday they sucked butts.
Oh, it was them. It wasn't Luis Castillo doing good. It wasn't that they couldn't beat a good pitcher.
What I mean. Their bats suck butts. Luis Castillo was really good, though. Holy cow, he was good.
Dude was nasty. But apparently it was the Dodgers' fault for not showing up. Not that they can't maybe always beat good pitching.
Dude, didn't they have like two hits or something like that? Come on. Come on. That's all we got. Two.
You ever notice how they struggle mightily against change-up pitchers and dudes with nasty arm side runs
bad for the Dodgers because they always sort of, Doc thinks that stacking left-handed hitters against bad arm side run changeups.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I would love to watch Greg Maddux just absolutely carve up Max Muncy.
Oh.
It would be embarrassingly bad for Max.
You're a dick.
He can't handle that belt, belting in the hard two seamer.
He set a precedent.
He's hitting like he's on bases like 235 over the last 30 games, all right? And he stole away Seager's number two spot, but now Corey's back and all is right with the world.
All I'm saying is he set a precedent for all thick boys, and you're just blasting him like that?
Listen. It's nothing to do about the thickness. Your boy gets down with the thickness.
Look, skinny Tyler White is really crushing the ball most of his career with the Dodgers, and now you're just going to trash talk him for no reason. I hope Chunky Muncy comes back and just goes right at it. And he's going to prove you wrong the next couple of weeks because that's what he does. That's what happens.
He'll come back. Dave, outed him in a way that he's been chasing the numbers, and unfortunately, Max has very much played himself out of MVP conversations. In my unhumble opinion,
oh, he's out of it. Yeah, for sure.
Carnivore. Lunar Activity in the stream says these podcasts are becoming legendary. What do you agree? How do you feel about that? Give me your thoughts on that real quick. Go ahead.
We didn't take pregame shots this time.
We didn't. Crap.
But
you know what? We usually do that before a game. Like,
yeah, I don't feel good about drinking before I just go home and eat pasta. Well, I don't know.
You're having pasta?
I don't know what I'm having tonight, to be honest with you. I was just throwing food out there. I usually eat pasta. Big time carb boy.
You're an impasta?
Well, I don't know about that, but no. We learned this weekend. People very much view us as what's a good word? Drinkers, big time drinky boys.
I should have plugged in the art, even though
wouldn't have played up too well on the podcast. But we're bringing it down a little bit, so we're just having one beer today, and
one
then maybe
beer.
Another one depending on how things go.
You seemed like you were going for a cheers.
In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
Ari says, question, have you ever slept at DNHQ3?
Mm-mm. No, we have not slept at any. Gary slept
I took a nap right there once.
Gary has slept a whole bunch at DNHQ, the OG DNHQ, because that's his house.
He lives there. He's still sleeping there.
But, yeah. Apparently, we are Bizarro World Joe and Oral.
Am I Oral? Can I ask Oral?
Moving on. We got 6 more games on this road trip, and that was just something I said. All right. Let's get into the content. I'm going to call this segment now State of the Nation. Should I don't know why drinking. We've never... This is, we're Dodgers Nation. We're not doing... We never do the State of the Nation, but that's what we're just going to call a news segment. It's our Dodgers news update segment. And you know what we're sponsored by? We're sponsored by Dodgers Nation. Guys, go download our app. There's an app on the Apple one and the Android one, and it doesn't make you feel bad if you have a green bubble on either. I don't know. Was this something?
It was just like a...
You know how I hate Apple because it's garbage?
Okay, I'm sorry you like easy-to-use items.
Cody's unlucky streak continues in the 2021 alone. It's been going on for a while. Lux breaks Belly's McRib. And that's no bueno because the McRib is back and it's broken. And apparently...
Why is the McRib seasonal?
I don't know. It's one of those things where...
Are pigs seasonal?
I think, like...
Is it pig?
Like... You know how I'm trying to find something like where it's related to getting punched. It's like, you know, we didn't always just want to go be like punched, but if it's something where it's special, it's like, ooh, you can only be punched once a year. I don't know. Is that a thing? McRib isn't good, is what I'm getting at.
To anything said.
Dave Roberts says that Cody Bellinger will play through the non-displaced fracture in his rib. It is on the left side. He will play, quote, per his pain tolerance. You know things. You know some words. You've learned several letters. Is this a smart play for the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Well, look, if I know anything, it's that if you have a struggling player who can't get things going, can't get things figured out, the best thing for him is to get hurt and keep playing.
Yeah.
If we've learned anything at any point in our Dodger fandom, it's that. So, you know, you could view it one of two ways. The first way, two negatives make a positive. So maybe they interact so hard, Cody just suddenly becomes MVP again. I think I talked about that with Roach before. I'm not sure, but
I don't know.
That'll probably happen. Number two, bad idea. Real bad idea. Terrible idea. My opinion of it was that this feels like something that they're trying to not make a big deal out of, but it's eventually going to be a very big deal. Would not be surprised to see him not play a lot of the year. Would not be surprised to see him miss the postseason altogether at the rate that things are going, or just be left off the, you know, initial division series roster or something along those lines.
They've already missed once. Actually, twice so far this year on belly injuries because the fractured ankle... Mm-hmm. Wasn't supposed to be that bad.
They were like, he'll be back next week.
Yeah, or not ankle, but you know, ankle
shin
adjacent.
Bone ankle.
The hamstring was, oh yeah, it's not going to be an IL thing. He'll be back in like, you know, a couple days and then turn into an IL and a little bit longer. But this does make a shoulder separation and an operation. It makes with a broken leg and now the rib fracture all for Cody in less than 12 months. Is that anything for you? Is that like, is this, are we trending into the territory of this guy's glass, or the fact is it the fact that all of these are kind of freak injuries?
I mean, they are freak injuries. I mean, you don't have a shoulder separate like that from anything else other than a weird. And I blame Kike for all of my problems in life, just as I have since when he was playing
like,
with us.
I thought you were like real big on trying to get him back. This is the Dodgers.
I hate Kike. Not that I hate him. That's not fair. He's, you know, he's probably a nice boy. Whatever.
But he just
caused a COVID outbreak with his new team, but that's fine. They're freak injuries. I don't know. You know, I think it takes a couple years of injuries for you to be like, this guy's made of glass. Like, Pollock took a few big injuries throughout his career to be like, yes, this guy is pretty fragile. Corey, another dude, took a couple years for us to be like, oh, this guy's a little paper mache-y. So I don't know about one, you know, 12-month period for Cody being an issue. And again, freak injuries, really. Got stepped on by a big dude at first base. A big dude that just stepped right onto him.
Yeah. It's literally like ran it, stepped on his leg like he was running upstairs. That's a thing, right?
So when you have something like that happening to you, it's hard to get everything else going. You start to rely on other parts of your body that don't normally get that much stress on them, things like that. You know, it's like when you got a bad hip on one side, you start leaning on your other hip a little bit more, and then you get another bad hip. You got two bad hips.
And Matt Kemp's in the corner.
The bad hip boy over there.
Zito says JD Drew was straight glass. That's another one for sure. He had some, had some issues throughout his, especially his early part of his career. Didn't he retire at like 33 or something?
He's only 31 right now.
He mentioned Pollo. AJ Pollock is on the, you know, knock on desk on the train back to health, as they say. Apparently, it's a very much an as they say day, as they say. He is in Arizona today. Last we heard, he was going to be in Arizona starting today, Monday, and getting in some, you know, live game action. He's going to be playing some center field if you put
two and two together. Cody can't add it up, but that equals four, and you can put him in the eight spot. Sim games over the weekend, by all accounts, they went well. He was getting some at-bats. He was running. He was getting some action in the outfield. With this injury, with this belly injury, and the fact that, really Gavin Lux has stepped up and has in at this time of year, it does not take very long to be like, okay, that guy's played 8 to 10 good games. All right, well, he's on the postseason roster and he's probably starting with Lux. If you have Pollock coming back, it looks like at this point, because you can't move Lux anywhere else out in the outfield because this is not going to happen. No. AJ Pollock's probably going to be your center fielder. And we were talking about this. Me and this dirtbag over here, we were talking about this before the show. As Bob Nightingale points out, Scott Alexander is made of glass, and that's 100% accurate.
Good thing
money report.
$1 million.
That's a money report from Bob Nightingale.
Thanks, Bob.
You were against my idea of Pollock in center field, and you looked at the numbers, and you're like, oh, he could actually be more gooder than Cody is by the numbers this year. Which
here's
is
the thing. Here's
a shocker.
Here's the thing. Over and 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 over again throughout this year. Whenever I say Cody's real bad, why do we keep doing this? Cody's real bad. Why do we keep doing this? Cody's real bad. Why do we keep doing this? He changed his swing. He's still real bad. Why do we keep doing this? The argument over and over again. His defense is elite. It is above everyone else. It is so much better. It is not. You look at all the advanced metrics on his defensive, you know, his outfield prowess, whatever you want to call it. He's lost a step. Something happened. And obviously he lost a step because his step thing got broken at some point this year. Twice. Because he got the hamstring, he got the leg, you know, things happen. The numbers do not support him being an elite outfielder this year. And granted, it's a little bit of a small sample size because he's been hurt for most of the damn year. But when he is in there, he's not as good as he was last year. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as good as he was. In fact, AJ Pollock's limited time in center field this year pretty much mirrors Cody's year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that it's going to be the same throughout the course of, you know, full games, a full playoff series, whatever, a full postseason, whatever it's going to be. But if you're talking about the difference between an 861 OPS guy and Cody Bellinger, I feel like there is no way you can justify having Cody out there. 0% chance. And you can say sprint speed. You can say his ability to throw, whatever it is. I mean, the metrics aren't there this year. They're just not.
And his throwing is going to be impeded by that
broken rib.
That broken rib, which is something Dave said. That's one of the things that hurts him. And if that's Cody's biggest attribute to this team in October is his defense, and he's playing not the Cody Bellinger center field defense that we've come to know and very much appreciate. He's not playing that. He's playing a couple steps down the ladder from what he's able to do. Then, yeah, the value is just not there. I saw a comment. Let's find it real quick here. Ari saying Bellinger's still a good outfielder. Yes, still a good outfielder, no longer an elite outfielder, at least by the numbers this year. Danielle on Facebook asked, what do you do with Taylor then, with Pollock and Lux starting?
Look,
there will be a bit of a rotation.
There's going to be people moving around. I think depending on, you know, heading into October is going to be a really interesting question for a lot of different reasons, especially with the roster, the lineup build, all those things. But you're definitely going to see Chris Taylor move around. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, you don't super give guys days off. It's not like a really common thing, obviously, but although we have seen Doc do it in the past. But with Taylor also kind of struggling, coming off that neck injury, I think they're going to give him time to get rolling. Maybe he becomes a really good option off the bench. Maybe Lux becomes a really good option off the bench. Maybe those two switch in and out. I think against left-handed pitching, you'll see Chris Taylor. Against right-handed pitching, you'll see Gavin Lux. Kind of just makes sense. You'll see AJ Pollock probably regardless of who's out there. But either way, there's no wrong answer right now. There's one wrong answer. The one wrong answer is to keep throwing Cody out there.
Yeah.
That's the one wrong answer.
If he is starting, as Dave likes to say, the lion's share of games in October, something is wrong, and somebody has pictures of somebody, and as we like to say, we like to always assume and just defer to blackmail for people either being in or not in the lineup in these situations.
Gotta be blackmail.
Anthony Keene says, or asks, does AJ have the wheels for center? Hey, Dave has pointed out that so AJ's first year, he bulked up a little bit. He was a fatter chicken, as they say.
A beefy chicken.
As they say. There's another one. Counter. He has since deflated. I think that's what people say. He's shed a few pounds, and he's quicker. He's more mobile and whatever. I mean, this is a guy who was a Gold Glove center fielder. Granted, it was 6 years ago, But
you know he has the almost an identical sprint speed to Cody Bellinger this year.
That is wild.
0.2 feet slower per second. It's significant.
But they
enough,
both have 2 feet.
Oh.
This has been thoughts of Cody.
All I'm saying is if you're going to use his speed or his glove or his arm, none of them are good. I mean, granted, AJ Pollock's arm, not good.
Final button up on this for me, assuming the Dodgers do get to the National League Division Series, Cody should not be on that roster, and I think you tell him, look, I need you to get good. We all need you to get good, both healthy, swing-wise. Just get to a point where you're feeling better. Sit back, relax, watch a series, and expect to be a difference maker in the LCS and on. That's what I tell the guy, and you hope you have a better chance without him in the lineup than you do with him right now. Sure, you want him on the roster, but maybe it's better just to completely tell him, hey, you're getting a blow. Dodgers survived an LCS with Corey Seager on the bench 1 year in 2017, and then they lost to cheaters.
Okay, well, all I'm saying is no matter what way you look at it, there's a pretty good chance that we don't have a great defensive alignment in the outfield for the playoffs.
Mookie's,
no matter what way you look
Mookie's
at
around.
It.
Mookie's around. He's good.
Gavin is almost 30 feet per second. Do you know that? Gavin's fast as hell, man. I mean, look, if you're going to do something, just put Gavin in the outfield and let him run it down. He's not going to take great routes by any means.
Next up, how about that Clayton Kershaw kid? He's pretty
up
solid.
Up-and-comer.
Yeah. 8 Ks over 5 innings pitched, 74 pitches on Sunday, proving that the Dodgers could very well have the best number 4 starter in the postseason.
It's a weird spot to be in where you're looking at the postseason rotation and you're starting to think like, all right, well, who gives the bumps of the pen? Like, Tony's pretty obvious. You know, it's pretty much a guarantee at this point. Tony goes back to the bullpen. But then you're like, what order are we going in this year, though? Obviously, entirely dependent on who we face, but it could very well be some combination of Max Walker. Some you can't go wrong at the top, really you can't. And then Julio and Kershaw. Like, can you justify putting Clayton ahead of Julio?
No,
I don't think you can.
And I think at this point in his career, you go back 5 years, Kershaw would not have been okay with that. At this point, Kershaw's like, I don't care, I just want to win.
Just let me win the game. Please.
Let me win the baseball. And the funny thing is, now think about it. I was talking to someone about this earlier. Let's say for some reason there's just. All right, let's go doomsday scenario where they need to, in a game 163, start Max. And then in a wild card play-in, they need to have some sort of piggyback of Bueller and Julio. Okay, well, then your game one starter, if you survive all that, is still Clayton Kershaw. That ain't all that bad. It's fun to think of. Because that was the only guy we used to have back in the olden days, back before he was born. Clayton Kershaw was always the game one starter.
I used to have a superstition where I wouldn't watch the first Dodgers playoff game because it would always be Clayton Kershaw pitching. And I had a superstition that if I didn't watch, he would do better. He did not.
Look at you now.
Sometimes he did. I don't know. But now I can watch all the games because he doesn't start the first game of the series anymore. Oh, how times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Growth.
More fun stuff from the weekend. Money Mookie. Mookie Betts. Proves that he's just an all-around great dude and pays attention to things. I'm sure everybody has seen the story by now. On Sunday, he gives a bat to a dude who is not a Dodger fan. He gives a bat to a Reds fan, and the whole story comes out that it was an exchange for TJ or DJ or Free J Friedel. Yeah. No, TJ Friedel. His first career hit was a home run. Mookie saw it was his first, or he saw it was his debut the day before, didn't get hit that game. On Sunday, he does the thing, and then here we are. All of a sudden, this guy gets his first hit. It's a home run. He gets the ball back, and Mookie's just awesome.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for the cameras either. He did it because, because Kobe. Because Kobe told him to.
If you guys, for any of you LA fans around here, you remember when Kobe was around, when he was playing, his biggest thing was, he wasn't a load management guy. If Kobe could play, he was going to play. It didn't matter if there was something on the line. It didn't matter if there was playoffs on the line or, they were resting him before play. It didn't matter because Kobe knew fans paid a lot of really good money to come out and watch Kobe play. We weren't coming out here to watch anybody else. Like, no one's watching Sasha Vujicic. No one came out for Sasha. Great guy, but no one came out for him.
Uh-huh.
Mookie talked about a conversation he had had with Kobe, something along those lines of fan interaction, things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, leaving an impact on somebody like that's huge. And you talk about a guy who's going to be here for a very long time. You know,
yeah.
He might finish out his entire contract here. He might not. Depends on how a lot of things go for us over the next couple of years. But what a life. I mean, what a guy to have in LA. What a guy to have represent your entire franchise. What a guy to give the biggest contract that you've given somebody. It's just like, I don't know. It's perfect. I love Mookie. I love everything about him. I think that he's one of the greatest humans on earth. I also really loved the way he treated the media when talking about that, mm-hmm. personally. Because media does this thing where they latch onto one moment and they won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it. You got to get your story. We have to get our stories. That's what we do. But Mookie was very much, you could tell he's like, I really wish cameras would not have seen that moment.
Yeah.
I really wish that nobody saw it. You could tell. You could tell he was just done with it. Like, yeah, I got his ball for him, man. I recognized that it was, you know, his home run ball. I got it for him. I didn't do it for the cameras. Like, you could tell. He was over it. He's a good dude, man.
Yeah, all around. I mean, that's a moment that works both ways, to be honest. And that's, you know, Dodger fans have seen the quote time and time again. And it's one of the great Jackie Robinson quotes, a life is not important except in the impact it makes on other lives. Well, not only did Mookie impact the Reds and T.J. Friedl, you know, for him, for sure, for the rest of his life. Because not only is that a story of, oh, yeah, that was, maybe he never gets another hit again, even though he got a single the very next at bat. Say that's it. He doesn't get another home run for the rest of his life. He's always going to have that ball. And not only can he say, oh, yeah, I was a big leaguer for this short time and I hit that and it went out. No, he gets to add, oh, yeah, a Hall of Famer got the ball for me from some dude.
And gave his bat to him so he could get that ball. Pretty freaking cool story. And it's on video now.
And
we
sure,
have cameras.
And sure, the guy's already, you know, in the stands, so he's probably a fan. But I guarantee you, you make a fan for life right there.
Oh, that guy's going to love Mookie. Yeah. And there's kids out there. Kids are watching it happen. Good things are happening all around. We love Mookie.
Dong Kim coming in hot.
Dong, what the? Hey, yo!
We appreciate you, Dong. Dong throws a... if you want some back, let us know. If it was for clout, you know, that's cool. We'll happily send you some back or whatever. But Dong super chats us on YouTube, $100. Very much love you for that. He says, because y'all are awesome, too. Dong!
Dong, that's awesome, man. Thank you.
You're
Thank
a legend.
You very much. We're going to buy a lot of beer with that. $100 worth of beer. That's why people think we're alcoholics.
This is true.
We just buy beer money.
If you saw it said free beer on the little label
cans. People know we want. Ari says, what's the largest super chat you've ever gotten? That is the largest super chat that we've ever gotten. So I don't think people get super chats like that very often. Thank you.
Yeah, we had one, I think Matt De La Rosa, I believe it was, a while back, sent us 50, which is also awesome. And again, all of this, this is like literally the time we don't get paid. Usually, this is like the time where we're in a way hemorrhaging our money and our time. So that always makes us feel very, very happy and moist on the inside.
A sales loner says that's two beers at Dodger Stadium. It's a good one. I like that. I already called him Dong Legend. That's
Dong
a good
Legend.
Name. Dong, you should change your name to Dong Legend on your.
You know,
YouTube.
I saw that movie. You had to get behind the beads in the old video store though to find that movie because it was a pornography.
Lucas,
moving on. From that dong to dong, dong, dong. The final thing we saw from this weekend was a lineup shuffle. We're seeing Dave Roberts. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of changed things up, but at the same time regressed to the mean or to the norm or what he knows. Last week, week and a half ago, whatever it was, we saw Mookie go back to the leadoff spot. Now, Corey Seager goes back to the number two hole. And it was 100% the right call. Because Corey is crushing it, and Max is whatever the opposite of crushing it is. Max ain't on it right now.
Boom roasted. You're just really going after him. What's your vendetta with him? What's your beef?
It's making the porkers look bad.
Thick boys don't look good today.
Oh, no, but I don't know. I mean, Max isn't doing all that hot. And, hey, if Dave had something... some borderline ill words to say of him. That means a lot from Dave. And he said he thinks that he was chasing the numbers in the second half, started chasing, you know, the numbers. He saw what he was going for. And, you know, with Max, he's just got to go look to get on base, not try to do too much. All the other things that Matt Beatty says every time they allow him to
whenever
be
he's
on
allowed
camera.
To speak to the public. You know what I do like about it in particular, I think Doc brought it up too, is like if you put Corey in the number two spot and move him up from the number four, number five spot, whatever you're going to have him at, big time first pitch swinger that allows Trey Turner to actually steal bases ahead of him, because Trey gets on base, can't really steal a base when you got a guy who's swinging at the first pitch most of the time coming up next. And so that's definitely limited it. Also, you can't have JT ahead of Trey Turner ever. And even having Max Muncy ahead of Trey Turner is probably not a good idea. When you got a guy burning out of the box at 30-something feet per second and chasing down old-ass Justin Turner, it's not going to be a good look. So I like that move.
What you do is you have Pujols, then JT, then Trey Turner.
So he really can't go anywhere.
I mean, you can call them wheels. You know, semi-truck ain't fast, but it's got wheels.
It moves.
Anyway, but I like it. It was the right call, and we're getting closer to having the best version of this lineup that I personally think you can have. Because if you're going Mookie, Seager, Trey, Muncy, JT, and how funny is it that all of a sudden JT is batting fifth and we're not really batting an eye about it?
Nope.
Will Smith, who probably really should be the cleanup hitter, in my opinion, in the postseason. It's not going to happen. And then Lux, who been nothing short of a godsend since coming back to this major league level and helping, as Dave likes to say, extend the lineup at the back end. Because when you have an out at 7, 8, and 9, it's not a good time. But now, and then you have, you know, something batting in the eighth spot, whether it's going to be, you know, Bellinger or Beatty until Pollock comes back. And then Pollock's going to move up probably ahead of, well, at least Gavin Lux. But if you have AJ Pollock, you know, batting eighth in your lineup or seventh in your lineup, oof.
Oof. Look, all I'm saying is that lineup should do damage. Should.
Should.
We've been should.
Should do damage. Got another one here, by the way. I be stroking on YouTube. It's the username. I'm not letting anybody know about anything that's going on here. Y'all see my hands, but I be stroking on YouTube. It says a round of applause for the imploding dumpster fire that is the Sham Diego Madres. $5 super chat sent our way. Thank you, I be stroking.
We got another one from the legend that is Bob Nightingale as well.
Oh.
Thank you, Bob, whoever you may be. We appreciate you. Didn't even say anything. He was just being Bob.
Just money.
Just bombing it up.
You know what?
Here's American money.
Here's American Bob money.
Gail's never sent us Canadian money.
Don't do, don't
Gail, send us Canadian money, Gail. Do not do that.
Just send us.
Maybe she did give us Canadian money when she was here.
She bought us beer using Canadian money.
I think she used American money.
Yeah. But it was like, what do they call
converted.
That? Transported. Transported. It was
assimilated. What is that?
Oh, we've all been there, am I right? But that, anyways, the Sham Diego one is a good segue to our next segment, the Chancer Road to October. It's also a little plug for our friends over at Chancer. Guys, go to ChancerHQ.com/Dodgers and play along in the Chancer Fridays game we got going on all month long. They are taking your top 4 out of 5 scores. So if you haven't started already, you're probably behind, but you can still play along and see if you can beat this dirtbag right here, who apparently is like all this good because he's, where you at? You're like 4th in all of it or something like that. You're
I'm not
6th.
Even trying, guys. Not even trying.
You're
0 effort,
you're so it's the usual 15,
yeah, just like life.
15 points. So you're chasing DJJ at the top of the leaderboard with 18 points, and everybody is playing for a, like I like to say, a big ass clock or a $400 gift card. The
gang
equivalent
gang.
From Fanatics. You can't win it, by the way.
I can't.
I really need
not.
To establish that you can't win it.
That's why I'm not actually trying, but look at me dominating the standings.
You know, Gail's right there at 15 with you too. I'm just
How far
saying.
Back are you?
I don't know. I'm not on
You're
it.
You're not even on the list. You didn't
even
make the list.
Because everybody has 15. They're all 15.
Well, you don't have 15.
Sir. Hmm? Sir.
So are we all tied? What's happening?
I don't know, but you know what they say. They don't pay me to do the big bucks or something. They just pay me to tell you about Chancer. And they don't even pay me to do that. I mean, it's more of a thing. But yeah, download the Chancer app and you'll get the notification when the new game comes out. We're going to be playing on Friday when the Dodgers are in Arizona, so check that out. But with the road to October, let's flash back a little bit. After taking 2 of 3 in Cincinnati, as predicted by me,
coward,
on Thursday, you're like, oh, my Dodgers, I love them. They're going to sweep. Will you sign my something, X person? I don't know.
Is that like a pick-me boy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very pick-me energy. Aren't you No, you're friends with all those pick me people. Anyway.
Huh?
I've seen it. I don't know. You're in all these weird,
memes?
Poorly photoshopped images of other people.
Look at my face. I'm beautiful. I'm dirtbaggy.
No matter what they say. Still, through that all, the Dodgers remain one game back of the Giants for the lead in the National League West. 12 games remain. You still feeling good about that division prediction there, bud?
Still feel great. Great. The best. No one's had a better division than me.
St. Louis now owns a 3-game lead over the next closest team in for that second wild card spot, which is the Cardinals. Not the Padres, mind you.
Did you say St. Louis holds a 3-game lead over the Cardinals?
Oh, over the Padres. Yeah, they hold it over the Reds. Over the Reds.
You stupid idiot.
They're red Midwest teams.
You're an idiot. You should have taken
all right,
a 3-game shot.
You go.
I'm reading
you
comments.
Take over.
I'm not doing
it. No, you're not. You're never reading nothing. You read the rest. I'm going to be right here. You do it.
Phillies. Phillies and Padres are both 3.5 back? No, because the Padres are now 4 back after the win today. So now they're really in desperation mode, by the way. Padres welcome the Giants this week for 3 games. They're playing for a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Well, they're playing for a lot.
Uh-huh.
But.
Not playing very
there's some real bad stuff going on down in San Diego. I'll be honest. When I first saw that clip that came out, I initially thought it was fake. Like, because the weird angle at first, and I wasn't listening to the audio. Whew. If you guys saw this clip.
Well, we don't have the clip.
We don't have it.
It's not very
you can't really understand
Lucas friendly.
It. It's there's a lot of bad words in it. Basically, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis get into it a little bit. And strangely enough, maybe you have a different opinion than I do. Strangely enough, Manny seems to be the mature one in this situation, which is mind-boggling to me. But you remember early on in Manny's career, he struggled a little bit with being the kind of the really good player on a real bad team. And that can get to you after a while. Fernando is a really good player on a pretty bad team.
I would imagine at this point, Manny sees a lot of himself, a lot of young himself in Fernando phrasing. Well, yeah, he took the role of older brother, did Manny Machado, and there was a domestic disturbance, as I like to say, as I said it, at Petco Park on Saturday night. It was funny to watch, but again, once you saw the whole context and you actually hear what he was saying, it's like, no, Manny is in the right here. And, you know, there's been some, you know, articles and different things coming out about the argument, about just kind of where the team is at. And, you know, I guess, understandably, you know, the Dodgers do the same thing with Mookie Betts. But, I mean, you kind of live and die with your best player. And if it's your best player is kind of moody because, you know, they're only 22 or 23 or whatever. Is that how many errors he has? Something like that. Got him. That was the first one I saw. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. Everybody, I'm gonna say, you can't fault the Padres, you can't fault Manny for losing their cool. They're teetering on becoming the laughingstock of baseball, and maybe it's a far stretch to say of sports, but maybe not that much of a far stretch.
I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about like letdowns for the year, like across any major sport, like I don't know how you find a bigger letdown than the team that everybody thought was going to dethrone the Dodgers as the World Series champions by a long shot at the beginning. People were like, they won the offseason, they have the best lineup, they have the best starting rotation, they have the best bullpen. They're definitely going to win. It's just a matter of how much they win by at this point. Now you have a point where you're like, you're looking at the standings, and you're saying there is almost 0% chance they make the playoffs at this point. You look at who they're playing, who they match up against, what those teams have to play for the last couple weeks of the year. I just don't know how the Padres make the playoffs. I cannot see a situation where they make the playoffs. And that is, they might not finish over 500, which is a really big deal for a team with that much talent.
Yeah.
There's so much talent packed into that roster. Top to bottom, there's so much talent packed into the roster. And they just fell apart, man. They looked good at some points in the year.
The best team San Diego has ever had, they couldn't even secure a fake playoff berth, postseason berth of that second wild card. All that crap that the fans threw out about the 60-game season last year.
Ooh. Well, you know what? At least MLB posts every time that Fernando hits a home run. You know, at least they do that. I don't know why they didn't post the ball that he dropped in center field.
Perfectly. Anthony Keene said someone on the MLB marketing team is pissed about the Padres.
They're like, we needed them to be good.
They had so many memes ready to go for praising images for them in the Octobers, as they say. Another one.
I mean, you're at a point now where Jake Arrieta is one of your starting pitchers. I think he's probably done for the season now because he just got hurt yesterday and got racked for 5 runs and 0.1 innings or whatever it was. But you're at a point where Jake Arrieta is throwing meaningful innings for you down a playoff stretch. You're in a bad spot. It's not good.
And Vince Velasquez, by the way.
Yeah. I feel bad for a couple of the guys on the team. There's a couple of likable guys on the team. Yu Darvish, one of the likable guys. I think that's actually the only likable person on that team.
Who? I wasn't listening.
Yu Darvish.
Oh, I was going to listen tomorrow.
Maybe like Ha-Seong Kim. That's it. Jake Cronenworth looks like a...
They have a lot of problems going on down in sad or mad Diego.
I hope Trent Grisham is sad.
There's trouble in paradise, man, and heads are going to roll, and you can't help but wonder what the hell happened. You know, again, rumors have surfaced online, and there's a pretty decently sized editorial over at The Athletic today that, Hingle McTingleberry, their manager, has pretty much lost the clubhouse there, and it shows. They got some quotes, I think anonymous, but one of them was, I think it might have been Tommy Pham, where, you know, they were just, you know, he's arguing with one of, like, the third base coach or an outfield coach about, you know, they had a collision with him and Kim in the outfield or something like that. But I enjoyed the conversation you had online earlier, because we look at this, we see how bad the Padres are doing with all that talent. Yet, you would think with the vitriol that gets thrown around the internet about Dave Roberts all this time, or all these years, you would think that Dave is about the same kind of manager, but nah, bruh. He good.
I mean, look, let's say the Padres do end up firing Hingle McTingleberry. Hashtag, going with another manager.
Hashtag fire McTingleberry.
There's a really good chance at this point. You look at Padres fans, and they're all calling. They're calling for him and Preller to be fired, by the way.
Bold prediction. Hingle McTingleberry does not make it through the season as the manager.
This season. Damn. That'd be wild.
I think they make a real statement, and Preller makes a statement to save grace.
Preller fires himself.
He's going to dump Jace Tingler's his name, guys. He's going to dump Hingle McTingleberry and install like Schumacher for 5 games. And then, they're just going to cry for about a week and watch all the postseason games.
Carlos Quinton or something to manage. He's angry.
Bench angry coach way. Zach Greinke's rib.
Ooh.
Hey, you like that there?
Broken rib.
Same difference. I've tried.
One hurts more than the other, but nonetheless, you think about them having their fourth manager in potentially 8 years. None of them good, by the way. Remember Green? Oh, God, I hated him so much, dude. Andy Green's the worst person.
I love that Andy Green got the job over Dave Roberts, and that's one of the other fun parts of this is that, you know, Dave Roberts was under consideration, air quote, for that San Diego job, and they were never really going to give him that job. And thankfully,
dude was like a mega San Diego guy. Like that's
he was. And then he signed in LA, and here we are, 9 divisions later, hopefully, and 6 of those are going to be under his belt,
and a World Series. And should have been too, had we not been cheated out of one.
And 4 managers potentially in 8 years for the Padres.
Meanwhile, things are smooth sailing, feeling good. We're figuring things out. We had a year where a bunch of people got injured, and we probably should not have competed as much as we did, and we probably should not be anywhere near 100 wins. But here we are. And I will also say, along with that, Mark Pryor deserves more credit than he actually gets. He will never get any because he's super quiet and doesn't talk to anybody, and that's just what he does. But Mark Pryor has definitely helped hold together a pitching staff that has been band-aided together realistically. But
and Connor McGinnis and
Dave Roberts, man.
Dave Roberts.
I mean, you talk about a guy who is. And look, I made this point already. You can say all you want. His in-game tactics suck. I think it's something that he's learned a lot over the past couple of years. More playoff experience has definitely made him better at that, I think. 2020 was probably his best managing I've ever seen, by far. Like, by far, this best managing I've ever seen in terms of in-game tactician. Made a lot of big mistakes, notably things that a lot of people are going to remember probably for the rest of his career as a manager. But there is undoubtedly no other manager better in baseball at clubhouse management, at player management, at relationships, at developing players at the big league level as they come through, at the transition from minor leagues into big leagues. He's created a culture in the clubhouse that has, it's canceled out any big egos. Mm-hmm. It's canceled out any me mentality. It's canceled out any personal gains or individual awards and made it all about one team.
Yeah.
And you hear that every single time you talk to any player on this team. And it's never the personal accolades. It's never the, I want to do this for my career. It's always the, we want to do this. This is what we want to accomplish. Any guy that comes here, you look at Max Scherzer, a guy who's accomplished every award, big award that you can have as a pitcher. I mean, mm-hmm. he's done it all. And the dude just seamlessly transitioned right over and is like, we are winning.
Yeah.
I don't care about anything else. I don't care about a Cy Young at 37. We are winning.
I would also, you know, not to take anything away from Dave, I would put a lot on what Justin Turner brings to this locker room mm-hmm. and the people before him, the AJ Ellis crowd, of course, Clayton Kershaw all over all of these years. Those dudes really helped instill this culture that is, you know, it's very much team first always, and, you know, trust in Dave. And Dave has earned that trust from just about everybody. Our boy, Eric Yulo, over on the 3-Up, 3-Down podcast, a Dodgers Nation production. He talked about, you know, all the love that Dave doesn't get. Go watch his latest podcast on our Dodgers Nation YouTube or on our Instagram. We talked about it last week, just the amount of praise that Dave Roberts does deserve for this. And we give him a lot of crap here on the show, and we will continue to do so for, you know, weeks to come until we die. But he also deserves a lot of credit, which we do.
We'll definitely be trashing him in like 2 weeks from now when the playoffs roll around or whatever. So we're going to do that.
When we end up as the wild card and then we get bounced.
Yeah. Ari Swerdlow says, when JT retires, he better be the manager or Chase Utley. I don't know what Chase Utley's plan is for the rest of his life. I think he will coach eventually when his kids are grown up or something like that. JT, I think, probably shifts into like a bench coach role, probably for Doc. I don't know what Bob's doing by that point, but they'll promote him to something. I mean, Bob should be a manager. I mean, that's... He probably should be managing a team somewhere and probably will eventually.
JT manages and he brings in Andre Ethier as his bench coach. Boom.
Andre wants to be a part of the Dodgers so bad.
He is now. I'm very happy about it.
He is.
Did you see they're doing the adult fantasy camp again?
There. I know a friend going to it.
I think.
We should go to it?
We should go to it.
Gary? Judy?
I need to see how much this thing costs because... You know, this might be one of those things that we need to do for off-season content. What do you guys think? I mean, we got $100 from our boy Dong.
We're halfway there.
We're halfway there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it costs a lot more than $100.
I'm pretty sure it's like $5,000, dude.
All right, we need to know if it's $5,000. Never mind. I never talked about this. But if it's not $5,000, we need to. Yeah, they're not going to list the price on there. Come on, Chief.
They have before.
Yeah.
See? Oh, my God. I'm so good. Your camp experience costs $4,995.
$5 less than $5,000. So
we need approximately $10,000.
Listen, I do it. What is that show? The one Bob Barker used to do? It's closest without going over. Closest
share a double occupancy room and save $350. I don't know what that means.
Ooh wee! That's man.
Groups of two or more.
Think of the savings.
Groups of they call them campers. I think that's really funny. But groups of two or more are eligible for a $250 per camper discount. So
if we share a room
plus
and we go as a group. Question: should we also bring Gary?
No.
I don't know.
He wants to live his dreams, too. Maybe we need three people.
Okay. Guys, we're going to put a pin in this idea, but let's flash forward after the postseason.
I can get my shoulder healthy.
They got doctors there, I'm assuming.
I'm impressed.
So if you blow out your shoulder on, like, in the fantasy camp, do they pay for your shoulder, Jimmy John?
I don't think so. That would Stan be a good Kasten, story, though.
Call me. I got questions.
I still think we should face off against a big league pitcher regardless.
We're going to put... Well, it wouldn't be big league pitchers.
I'm just saying, at some point, we should face off against a big league pitcher because it would make for great content.
If it's going to be a current one, we can't do that.
No, like at some point, big league pitcher. I'm thinking like a DFA.
Brock Stewart, where are you at?
Brock Star. I can take you deep.
And anyways, we'll put a pin in this now. We're going to come back to this because maybe.
Oh, Nick Ramos brings up a good point. He says, got to bring D-Mac for the clubhouse vibes.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine Doug in the clubhouse? Like, hey, Steve Garvey.
Oh, I already. Hey, Andre, what do you think of Andre either just slowly creeping out
just
of the room.
Backing out of the picture.
We love Doug.
Doug would definitely be a clubhouse vibe.
Oh, yeah. He would be, absolutely. Roach says Jonathan Broxton. Do you think you could think go Matt Stairs on John Broxton?
He throws like probably 62 miles an hour now, so probably, yeah.
Do you think Haas throws only 62? Dude, probably still got 92 in the tank, even
he's
at
like, he's like
39.
Pitching for like a some like a auto parts warehouse team or something like that.
Get in the zone. I used
Bob
to
Nightingale pitch. Says Brock Stewart works like Chick-fil-A now.
In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
Moving on, but I do want to come back to this. Because at the very least, I think we got to send you. You're the
I don't have a shoulder.
Star athlete. I can film.
Yeah.
How about this? We do it where we're like, we're taped together.
We're one person.
One person. You,
we pay
you
one
run.
Fee.
You run. I'll do all the throwing.
Ari says Eric Gagne. Eric Gagne could throw to us. He's our friend.
I'm going to call him right now. You do the next part. I'm going to call
he's
Eric.
In Canada or
no,
Arizona,
he's in Arizona. I'm going to call Eric. Right
don't call Eric Gagne while we're on the show. What have we been doing
dear
next?
Dear Eric Gagne. I appreciate you paying attention to the show.
My dearest Eric Gagne. Well, we started getting on Fantasy Cabin, and I didn't know what we were talking about.
Before we go, we got to talk about what's coming up this week, guys. We have a three-game series in Colorado. It's the Rocky Series preview, and this time it is presented by Vintage Brand. Guys, our friends at Vintage Brand have over 10,000 unique logos of your favorite professional sports teams and colleges. We have their stuff. We use their stuff. We like their stuff. And you will, too, and you can, too. Sign up at Vintage Brand and receive 40% off your first purchase. Visit vintagebrand.com/site/subscribe to sign up and start saving right away. You can get things. You can get the – look at that. Listen to that. That's a can insulator.
Touch my beer.
I touched the can insulator. Yeah. Anyways, I also got to get. There's more stuff. They have Brooklyn stuff there. It's real nice. But the Dodgers go to Colorado one last time. Please don't die in Colorado.
You talking to me?
I mean, you're not going.
I'm not going to Colorado.
You're not hashtag. You're just some Dodger blogger. But while the Dodgers and while the Giants and the Padres are going to be beating up on each other, the Dodgers really at this point they've said it for a while. They just need to focus on themselves 1,000,000,000% right now. We're also at another tough point because I really want to see the Padres continue to spiral, but obviously we know we need them to lose, or sorry, to win. So it's a really tough point.
Do you think it's a they'll good win? Point. Do you think they'll win? Let me put it that way. Do you think that they'll win? I don't think they'll win any.
They're going to be inspired.
I don't think they'll win any.
They're going to be inspired by Angry Machado.
Zero.
By Johnny Hustle. And they're going to take 2 of 3.
I think they're taking zero.
I mean, yeah, probably. Yeah. It's a real, like, just like, he's already dead situation.
Why
for sure.
Why are you making me do this?
And that one's for Kevin. I've seen Kevin, I'm enjoying the comments. They're just not coming up in the flow of the moment. And I'm trying not to derail the show.
You should be offended
like
by
Kevin.
That.
Like Kevin, you know. That. Anyway, we do know the Rockies are gooder, as they say, at home.
No one says that.
They play much better at Coors. They are 70-79 on the season, but are 45-27 at home, 25-52 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that the team that plays at that cheater ballpark is better at home? Yeah?
It is a little bit of a cheater ballpark, isn't it? It's like playing MLB The Show with like inflated power statistics.
And big heads.
Well, we haven't done that in a while, but yeah.
Put Matt Kemp over you. Don't do it. It's a waste of time. Series matchups. The Dodgers are throwing out some of the goodies. I mean, we got a lot of goodies in the rotation. Julio goes up against Anthony Senzatella. Walker Buehler against Germán Márquez. And Max Scherzer against Kyle Freeland.
Doesn't it feel like those are the three guys that the Dodgers tend to struggle against, though, too? Especially Senzatella and Márquez.
The Dodgers struggle against, like, all of them.
That's true. If you're a bad
team, find a way.
There's a good chance the Dodgers are not going to hit against you.
You know, it's funny. Colorado's only 7 games behind the Rockies or the
Padres.
The Padres.
Wow.
Ooh.
I think that means the Padres are a bad team. Man, we trash on the Padres a lot. Remember when they had fans?
It's so fun.
Remember
though.
When they had fans? Remember they're not the even fun anymore. They don't even talk trash back.
I know.
Zach died.
Yeah. No. This is mom.
No. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Zach.
Thoughts and prayers.
THOTS.
Blue Magic says it best here. Just win, baby. That's all you got to do. Just win.
You been watching Giants games?
No.
I've been watching them.
You know what? I'll scratch that. I've watched parts of them using. I stole Ankit's MLB TV, but it's only in my backyard, so it's like.
I stole. I don't remember.
I mean, we paid for it.
I think I stole Katie's. Because I can get it through them since they're San Francisco or T-Mobile's or whatever. Yeah. But I can watch Giants games. Because I need to. Because I need them to lose, dude.
You just need something else to do. Don't you have a gym now in your home? Like,
yeah, I work out 4 days a week.
Why?
Because I am a,
shoulder don't
a
work.
Greek god. I don't know.
I am a golden god!
If a god exists, it's me. My shoulder... Real bad, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah.
That's the Netflix and chill update again.
Shoulder's real bad. I think we talked about the Netflix chill update last week. And you're going to get the next one on Monday because we're not doing a Thursday show. But before we leave, Brooke caught red-handed in San Fran. Hold on. I think I have the button somewhere. Do I have a dun-dun-dun? Oh, yeah. It's a... Guys.
Yeah.
Did you see the, if anybody's on the internet, did you see that meme of Brooke? There was a gentleman that looked like Brooke. Is that your doppelganger?
Look, guys, I'm tired of people tagging me in things
you
with white people with long hair and mustaches. Real tired of it. Getting a little fed up, you know what I mean? I know I look like a default Wii character in regular life, and now I look like a default Wii character that got long hair and a mustache. Little you know, customization there in the Wii customization channel, but
boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop. I'm real
boop,
sick.
Boop, 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 boop.
Even Miguel thought it was me.
Even your wife thought it was
Zach
you.
Campbell. What the?
Oh man, that'd be great if it was actually Zach Campbell. Oh, but really? I'm pretty sure that's probably. I got money. I got $100 on
that's
it
Bob.
Being Roach.
Oh.
Where did I see it? I saw a good one and I lost it. So
a lot of people thought it was me. I got a lot of people that were like,
I mean, I just assume all of them are you. Because,
See, Jim says all of us white people look alike.
Yeah, Jim,
see,
Jim gets
you're
it.
Onto
Thank
something.
You.
That's why everybody thinks I'm Colin.
So you're basically from Nebraska.
Yeah, Jim.
You guys
go,
are...
Go Corn Huskers.
Go Corn.
I don't know who's over there.
Go Corn. Lynn says, Brooke looks like a character from Eat It Bob's or whatever it's
Bob's
called.
Bob's Burgers.
And I like Eat It Bob's.
Eat It Bob's is another classic show.
Yeah. Anyways.
Looks like my weed guy.
That one I could see.
I can see.
See,
that.
Yeah, you give me more weed guy than meth guy vibes.
That's good. I grew out of my Riverside roots.
Yeah. There it is. But somehow dirt bagging up, you got out of your Riverside roots.
I get a lot of Joe Kelly stuff. Yeah. I mean, we just have a mustache and long hair, and we're from the IE, and we're white.
Yeah.
That's it.
You got all that going for you, don't you, bud?
The roof stayed up.
That's good. Anyways, that's about it. Warren asks, why do you hate Zach? You want to give somebody a quick primer about why you hate Zach Campbell again?
He's a cuck.
There it is. He's a cuck.
He steals balls from kids in the stands, and he's a a-hole and treats the Dodgers bad and complained because they were not nice to me. And he's a real pick-me boy, and I hate him, and
Big
I'll fight him.
Big-time pick-me boy.
He's on my list to fight. Got to make that clear of what my list is, just in case.
There's another one. We got all these things set up for the offseason. We're going to fantasy camp, pending. You're going to fight Zach Hampel, pending.
Josh Reddick.
We're gonna play Wii Sports.
Bowling.
Definitely.
Oh,
boy, bowling?
Bowling.
You want to get your ass beat at Wii Bowling? Because I'll destroy you, child.
I bowled like a 290 one time, dude.
That was one time.
One time I did that. Yeah, that's true.
He turned off real bowls.
I put bumpers on.
There was a thing where I saw people like reenacting the Wii Bowling, like all the people. It's funny. You guys ever watch the
internet?
Yeah. You don't see a grown man naked? Anyways, about it. There's a whole bunch to look forward to in the offseason, but hopefully that's not for a long time because we want the Dodgers to go deep into October. There's no rest for you there, bud. But if you guys want more stuff that sometimes has our name on it, find us on the internet. We are at DodgersNation.com. Download our app while you're on the internet. It's there-ish, but it's going to be on your phone. Subscribe to Blue Heaven. We are on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, everywhere your podcasts are available for free. We live there. Download subscribing to us on YouTube, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. Brooke will shave off a hair of his mustache if you do it.
Yeah, download that subscribe button, idiot.
I download that button that I used
to put on the subscribe. Yeah. Guys, I'm at BrookMe3. He is at RealFRG. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Dodger Nation on both Twitter and Instagram. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for comments. Thank you, Don Kim, by the way, once again, for the Super Chat. All you other guys who dropped us Super Chats, we appreciate you. Helps us pay for beer and keep up our reputation, which we must uphold. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you on Monday.
I like it. People think we're real drunks. We didn't even finish a beer here.
Mine's done.
No. Oh.
Goodbye.
Coward.
In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home. In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.